When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Crazy story about our next guest. 87-91, was waving a homer hanky, rooting on the Twins. Now, last night, went out in his neighborhood in Lincoln, was waving around his number 5 jersey as the T-Wolves are up 2-0. I hope that's correct. Brian Christopherson from Husker 24/7 joins us. Are you a T-Wolf fan as well?
That wouldn't be fair to the diehards. I'm a casual.
But you're a Minnesota sports fan.
You know, I don't want to go overboard that I've been with these boys since, like, you know,
the Metrodome
2000.
Yeah, been riding and dying.
I don't want to act like it's a pain in my gut, like the years that the T-Wolves have won 29 games.
Yeah.
I've been to one Timberwolves game.
How could Jimmy Rogers not win there?
And they both saw us at our we saw each other at our worst. The Timberwolves were not good, and I was coming into the arena after Blair Walsh had missed a field goal in negative 30-degree weather, and the kid taking my brother and my ticket at the door is, like, flanking Blair Walsh, like, as he takes the ticket.
Yeah.
We were
enjoy the game.
There was nobody, like, there, and we were in the third, like the upper deck, and so we had like 12 layers of clothes on, right, because it was that kind of game. So we're like unpeeling up there, and we had all the room in the world to like put our pile of coats and stuff, and so that was my T-Wolves experience. They won that night, so they're 1-0 with me in the arena. But I will say, I don't know if you guys have a team where it doesn't like affect your mood if they win or lose, but like every 3 to 4 days, you might check the standings. Like, how are they doing? Like, where are they at? Yeah.
It's the Astros this year.
Yeah,
Bulls.
That's a Timberwolves. That's a Timberwolves for me. So whatever that counts for, that's what I am. But I don't have my Ant-Man jersey yet, and I would have to wear the undershirt and not be cool anyway. I don't think I could just go out. With
I love that the ticket taker at the game was even cursing Blair Walsh, man. That's
that was a traumatic day.
Yeah, that was.
Yeah.
The only thing worse than playing in subarctic temperatures is getting beat in subarctic temperatures. So that's
what the Bears did in 1988 against the 49ers.
But I'll tell you what, guys. The way they, you know what won me last night was the defense. I mean, that was like one of the best defensive performances I've seen from a team in the playoffs. And I've become that middle-aged guy who's kind of like a defender of like 90s basketball, you know.
Thank you.
Yeah, they got my heart on the pain and stuff. I still am that way, but like last night, like if you want, for those people want to say, they don't play any defense in that league. T-Wolves were dialed in on defense last night, that's for sure.
Brian Christopherson joining us. There were a lot of assistant coaches that were in Omaha yesterday. All of them showed up over at Millard South to talk to Chase Lofton. They made their way through the metro. They went to Wahoo. Let's go back to Saturday. And you know this because you're an Omaha guy, but you've lived in Lincoln. You've covered this program, and you know the chatter of the Omaha-Lincoln divide. And can Nebraska recruit Omaha guys, and what's the disconnect? What does it say when Nebraska comes and does a youth camp at a middle school here in Omaha, and then using resources that Florida State can't fly 10 assistants up here to go to Millard South? Nebraska can do that. They're doing it. They're using their resources. What's the last couple of days say to you about Nebraska's approach to the largest city in the state?
That they're going the extra mile. I think that every staff has tried there. Winning is what matters the most. You know, when you're not winning and you're like in your third, if you get to your third or fourth year, then naturally, I've always said it's sometimes harder to recruit locally at that point because the kids are around it. Like they hear the negativity when it's not going well and when people aren't necessarily believing in what's happening down in Lincoln. But now they're hearing good stuff. They're hearing, this rule guy, he's turned programs around, you know, like they listen to him talk, they see the clips and he's like, that'd be a guy I'd be interested in playing for. And there's a lot of good mentors in that area. Obviously, I know Abdul Muhammad. A lot of people know that name, but there's a lot of people that are very helpful in the process. for the kids there. But I think when you hear Rule talk about the idea, this image of like you're at a camp at like Norris Middle School on one Saturday with like a third or fourth grader, you get to know him a little bit. That kid comes back year after year. At one time, at some point, he's going to go down to Lincoln for one of your June camps. And by the time he gets to his junior or senior year in high school, I mean, obviously you don't need a name tag or anything then. You know him. Maybe you know his family. You know a little bit about his story. And there's these relationships that are true that are built up. And at that point, where else is that kid going to go if Nebraska football's in a really good spot? Yeah. Or if Nebraska, or let's say he's not, you know, there's only so many kids who are that gifted to play at that level. Let's say he's not in that percentile, but he's a good player, whatever. You've got resources of guys who can help you, you know, maybe get on somewhere else. You know, you'll get other opportunities. Or you just become a fan, a lifelong fan of Nebraska football, which matters too. And that gets passed on to then your kids and then so on and so forth. So I think when you hear Rule talk about that picture, which he is sort of, I paraphrased it a bit, but he has spoken on that. I think that means a lot to him, that idea of like that kid who grew up with it and you grew up teaching him at camp. And then one day they're committing, and as he said, you know, last week, there's a picture of him when he's 8 years old with Rule's, you know, arm around him and the other smiling at after a camp then, and now he's committed, and you can run those side by side. I think that's a nice picture, but you got to put in the work. That's one of those deals where you can't fake that photograph. You got to actually put in the miles and the care to make it happen. And I think they are, and give like Keith Williams and, you know, I Troy Vincent and Dr. Susan Ells a lot of credit too. I think they were key in getting all that together as well.
To me, Brian, and I don't know if you agree or not, it's another example of what I think is maybe more valuable about Matt Rule than what we even talk about, and that is his ability to follow through on a lot of the things that he does talk about. Because I know there's some people that they hear a lot of talking from Matt Rule, and then all they want to see is the product on the field. They want to see, you know, better than 6 wins. And I understand that. I don't think that's lost on anybody. But getting to that is building something, and there's a process, and having the attention to some of the smaller details that we don't talk about a lot. Something like this, having a youth camp. And maybe more importantly, for what you just brought up there, even if you don't turn out a potential recruit, you get a lifelong fan. Maybe that person goes on to be an alum. Maybe they become a donor later in life. Mm-hmm. The connection that is there, you mentioned, it's something he's talked about, but now you're seeing the follow through. There's so many aspects of how he wants to build this program that I honestly cannot think of a moment where he hasn't showed some type of follow through on this. Do we give him enough credit for that? And do you ultimately think that is something that will lead to bigger things for this program's product on the field?
I think he does. I mean, I do think he gets credit for it. I think it's very appealing to people though. I mean, you know, it's just that part of him where they feel like he's one of them. Like he's come in here and it's made it feel like he wants to stay here, and he's made that clear. You know, you could go back to the press conference he gave and that sort of weird few days right after Trev left, and like the 10 to 12 minutes he spoke before he even took a question about this place and like what it means to him and his family and stuff like that. Like that really matters. And then you back that up with actually this sort of stuff. It's not just to get a headline. That's a like 6 hour day in Omaha on Saturday, you know, like that's caring about it and wanting to put something into it. I like the fact that it feels like whatever they put their name on, they want to matter and have an impact, and do, in a sort of way that leaves a person walking away, say that they get after it. Like they care about this, you know, whatever event that may be, whether it's a coach's clinic or this thing. So I think they've been very successful with it, but also, you know, a key part too is you bring some players along, and it's Jalen Lloyd's there, you know, and Jalen Lloyd is right now a great example of a kid out of Omaha who playing two sports, really excelling at both right now. It seems like on the climb, and you know, you've got other guys who are going to be in this program that I think are going to help, like Tyson Terry, you know, is just a motivated kid that like people are going to really love. And there's going to be kids that will go to my alma mater that see that and Donovan Jones and stuff like that. And it's going to be like, yeah, that's where Tyson Donovan went. You know, maybe I'm going to do the same thing if they get their chance. And so, they're definitely got a little momentum, and now you gotta get the wins though. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. Like you gotta, in the next couple of years, you gotta have that season yeah. where you break through, and then that changes everything. I remember I went to McMillan Junior High and Omaha North High School, and you know, Nebraska football was good all my growing up. They were winning 9-10 games, but they had, at that point, it was like, oh, they can't get to the top. You know, they yeah. can't get to number one. Well, they broke through right when I was sort of going to high school. And I remember this like yesterday, how it flipped in the halls of like McMillan North High School. Miami and programs like that, even Colorado, because they got their one in 90, where they were like the cool teams kind of yeah. like, you know, you'd see kids with their gear on. And as a native Nebraskan, and I was like, oh, what the stink is with that, you yeah. know? And then Nebraska punched them in the face. One on that, you know, one at that high level, and that changed. I'll tell you what, you saw it everywhere. It was like Nebraska was the team, you know, and so that goes. I think you could go to any state, any area, and that's the way it is, that you're at that age where what's the cool program? You know, several years ago was Oregon that all the kids were wearing and stuff like that. And you've got a chance to sort of stamp with a lot of kids growing up wherever they're at in Omaha. Nebraska's a cool place. They're winning. They're on the up and up. And you're going to, you can get them back. You know, you got to take care of business on the field now though.
Well, Nebraska's getting they're getting a grown man in Tyson Terry when he shows up next year. I mean, he's going to be 19 years old. Saw his picture yesterday. I'm like, man, he doesn't look like, everybody else. As Brian Christopherson from Husker 24/7 joins us, put your finger in the air. And 5 months ago, your finger in the air to kind of gauge the pulse of the fan base on Marcus Satterfield, to if you went outside today and put your finger in the air to gauge the fan base on May 7th of Marcus Satterfield, what's the difference, if there is any?
I think there's more understanding now, and there's sort of been a comparison point too, even though it was a spring game where you saw the quarterback play. You know, and you thought, oh, that looks improved. You can do a lot more when that one position is a lot better, can't you? Or if you get a few more wide receivers as weapons, suddenly things look a lot different for the people around them calling the plays, right? Mm-hmm. And then you hear Matt Rhule talk very candidly about sort of Satterfield's mission last year, and in a humorous fashion, you know, how it's a difficult deal. You know, I know he gave the story of like trying to save someone on the subway, and it's like, you know, you do all you can, and then you get to the hospital, and they're like, "What's up with these stitches? Couldn't they have been done better?" I think that was the story he gave, and that was a great example of sort of how I think they feel. You know, what Marcus, you know, was dealing with as a coach, but to his credit, Satterfield never really complained about that or made that a thing, and. You know, he always took ownership of it, I thought, last year. But, yeah, I do think there's definitely some optimism there, and at least a sort of a willingness to let's see what happens now. You know, let's see what they do now that they got these QBs in here. Harburg is showing improvement. Very interesting guys on the perimeter. I think people have an open mind probably a little bit more than they did. It reminds me sort of the reset like a year ago on Donovan Raiola, right? You know, yeah. like when there was yeah. sort of that Rhule kind of spoke about like after they met with Donovan and why they liked him so much, and people kind of step back and they're like, okay, this guy's got a closer view than I do of things. Obviously, he's got a lot at stake winning. I'm going to give this a chance and see what he can do if the head man believes in him. And I think that's sort of what's going on here as well.
And speaking of a lot of the staff members, and you saw many of them in the pictures yesterday throughout the metro. One guy in particular that I'm curious what you hear from or hear about him on the recruiting trail, and that's Rob Dvorak. Another guy that seems like he is on a path to, and he's highly regarded amongst his peers. His recruiting impact, based on what you've heard, is what?
Oh, I think he's really a good recruiter. I think he's just a no-nonsense guy who, you know, people believe or players believe I can trust that guy. Like he's someone I can just have a real conversation with. And that's, I think, one of the biggest things that has always been, but especially now in this day and age, the recruits are just looking for those coaches where you feel like this guy is going to tell it to me straight, like him and like Evan Cooper. Like I had a recruit I was interviewing a few days ago talk about Evan Cooper was the first coach he said that told him something that like he really needed to work on. Like, you know, like he pointed something out like, hey, you got, this is a little off. And that meant a lot to that prospect. It's like, okay, these guys are going to keep it real. They're not just going to be all about the sugar, you know, and tell me what I want to hear. It's like, you know, you got to get to the brass tack sometimes and that. And so I think when players sense that from a coach recruiting that he's that type of guy who's going to just be straightforward, those guys are pretty successful. And I think Dvorak's got those traits. I think he's got, you know, future DC, possibly more than that, written over him. I don't know if it's here or where, but he's got it somewhere. And I think a big thing that was sort of hidden in this spring, this is kind of going away from your question, but was when they did the spring league football thing, you know, they're having those coaches call plays and stuff, you know, and they're sort of getting a taste for what it was like in those competitions to be the D coordinator. And then Tony White was sort of like the head coach in those spots. And I just thought that was a nice touch, kind of thinking forward by Nebraska about, you know, these guys as they try to work their way up. And, you know, at some point you're going to, you know, there will be changes and that guy has to be ready for it.
What do you glean from Nebraska's, it appears that it's impending that they're going to get the quarterback in this class in TJ Lateef, who is a four-star quarterback from California that Matt Rhule has made a priority. But we're talking about the quarterback who was a priority and then not a priority and then came back to being a priority that could be the guy for the next 3 years. What do you glean from the quarterback room and the recruiting that somebody that is highly thought of like TJ Lateef is like, I'll be here next year, coach?
Yeah, if that happens, I would say it's a nice job of convincing that player, which I think is the right thing, that, like, you know, it's about looking 3 or 4 years down the road, not necessarily what's just going to happen, like in 2025 or your first year. Like, believe in people who are going to develop you, where you take stock of all the facts and you say, where do I think I'm going to get the coach the best? Where am I going to have the best resources? I'm not doing an advertisement for Nebraska here. I'm just saying that's what I would say, and I think that's what they do say to a player like that. Like, you know, look around you. Look at everything you've got here. You're set up to succeed. You're going to get good coaching. I think you highlight, like, Glenn Thomas's work, obviously, you know, what he's done with quarterbacks. And, you know, usually prospects like that, they also talk to the other guys in the room and they get a feel sort of if there's chemistry there and what they think about the coaches and all that, if they're going to get the right teaching. And so if a player like that is that close to picking Nebraska as it seems is possible, he obviously probably got good feedback, not just from what he thought and took in from his experience here, but also what he heard from others who have been here, because that's usually what guys are doing. They're getting, like, on the ground information from people. They're saying, yeah, it's the real deal here. You can succeed. And so, you know, those are the guys you want, the guys who aren't just thinking about, like, 1 or 2 months down their first couple months on campus, but they're looking at the long haul. And obviously at some point the competition gets real and someone's first, someone's second and all that. But, a lot can happen between now and then, as you know, with any room, and you know, guys come and go, and someone gets hurt. All that stuff will happen naturally.
Yeah, BC, as always, we appreciate it. Thank you for your time. Have a great week.
Yep, thanks, guys.
It's Brian Christopherson, and that there are a lot of crystal balls that are showing up for TJ Lateef, who was here recently. Nebraska get the quarterback before June.
And if they do, and the question that you asked about what does that tell you about the room right there is, and this is something that I still think is more of a challenge than it was 10 years ago, of letting someone see the more the long-term plan as opposed to you're coming in right away and you're going to compete for it, which we all assume that's what, especially a four-star quarterback, would want. That, to me, takes some pretty good communication. But also, we talked about the impact of 15 and what that can do for your wide receiving room. Does it get discussed enough of what that can do for your quarterback room, too, when you get younger quarterbacks in? They know what type of quarterback he is, and you get a chance to play with and learn from him as well. I think that that is something that would be very impressive you pull off, knowing that you're just beginning the cycle of a true freshman this year and still being able to get a four-star who wants to play, you would think, sooner rather than later, but would still be very intrigued by the prospect of playing for this coach, this program, and in that quarterback room.
I also think, we'll get into this when we come back, because Adrian Martinez wants to enter the conversation. It means you learned something for how Nebraska handled Adrian Martinez. That's my looking at the quarterback room now compared to the few years back. We'll get into that when we come back as we roll till 10. Let's sift through some leftover emails. You're always welcome to join the show, 402-951-1620. It's Mornings with Sharp and Hanley on 1620 The Zone.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.